Hello, this is Kerry Van, and I'm looking at a company called Lions Holiday Park Limited, going into a few details and some of the complaints made against them. Very interesting company indeed, and anybody who's been with them for a while might have some stories to tell. I'm looking at their strategic report for the period ending in 29th of February 2024, when their turnover increased from £46.5 million to nearly £56 million, and gross profit increased from about £31.4 million to just over £39 million. Gross profit margins increased from 67.4% to 69.8%. That's quite a high margin. From my research, the company started about 100 years ago, and they were a scrap metal business who bought a caravan park and expanded and expanded and expanded. And now they own about 20 parks. The whole caravan park industry is under a lot of scrutiny as more complaints are being received and made public. The holiday park business has been accused of customer abuse, lack of customer care, and there's an apparently a 70,000 plus strong membership of the Holiday Park Action Group on Facebook, all of whom believe they've received poor or bad experiences, and some are from customers of Lime's holiday parks. But I have to say that there are many examples of claims against other parks. Most coastal holiday park owners, especially the larger ones, such as Lions, have a 20 years, or in some cases even less, caravan age policy and an obvious business plan which results in caravan-owning customers having to upgrade, part exchange their caravans, for a new one, or remove their property from the park and hope to store it somewhere else. If under 10 years old, sell it to someone else, which incurs a 15% plus VAT fee to the park, or sell it to the park. Now, on a Facebook message from Mr. Jeffrey Lyons Mand, director of Lyons Holiday Parks, I'm quoting, "Our guests are at the heart of everything we do. We operate within the ethical culture of respect, diversity, and social responsibility." However, from Trustpilot, "My family have been on Lyons Mulph View for 23 years, and 15 of those in our beloved family static caravan, For Lyons to take over our site and kick everyone and ourselves off due to the caravan's ages, when previous owners have never cared, as long as caravans were looked after by their owners, they were happy. It's absolutely disgusting how Lyons treat their customers who've been paying their bills to this site for so long, and to just ruin families' lives like this. Especially when it's been our lives and we've grown up here from a young age. You've hurt so many people, all because you only care about the money you're getting. And to make the site look more modern, vile people." Date of experience is December the 12th, 2023. 14th of August, 2023. "Please avoid Lyons. Lyons, by far, are the worst holiday owners and managers we have ever been with. Since we've had ownership of our van since the previous owners, they're outstanding, but since Lyons brought the parks, it's gone downhill. They're extremely rude, they are forcing us off the park. We really don't want to leave, but they are leaving us with no choice. We have only been here 3.5 years. Please do not buy a van or book a holiday. It's not how it was a few years ago. We've been coming to the same place for 50 years, but enough is enough. You're a disgrace, Lyons. From the owners all over the staffing board, selling rubbish for £10,000. I've gone to buy a new van on the park, but now looking at other companies that value their customers and owners and want to leave this company in the past. Cowboys." I'll remind you of what Mr. Jeffrey Lyons Mand, director of Lyons Holiday Parks, is quoted as saying on Facebook. "Our guests are at the heart of everything we do. We operate within the ethical culture of respect, diversity, and social responsibility." A Daily Post. "A caravan owner fears he'll be forced off a holiday park due to a new rule. A caravan owner said he was shocked by the treatment he's received at Kingsley Holiday Park in Abergele, which is owned by Lyons Holiday Parks, due to new rules which..." Now, it could be seen that park rules are very much in the park owner's favour, specifically behaviour. "There appears to be no concerted effort of legally required customer care, and complaints can and have been addressed by dealing with the complainant themselves rather than actually dealing with the complaint. However, trading standards may be able to get involved under the Consumer Rights Act 2015, health and safety and even disability issues. Despite claims that the Lyons family is family orientated, there is evidence that children have suffered as a result of the Lyons holiday group actions. There are stories of customers of holiday parks being evicted simply because they had a disagreement with a park owner, and another evicted for telling a potential customer a few home truths about the park on which they were intending to buy a caravan. Hello, this is Carrie Van, and I'm continuing with my stories about Lyons holiday parks and some interesting messages that I found on Facebook. When we sold ours caravan, Lyons wouldn't let a trader on site, ended up selling back to them. Followed by, they won't be using a trader, it's a cover-up and they'll be buying it themselves and tell you a different story so they get it at a cheaper price, saying that's all the trader will offer. It's happening to me, that's how I know. Followed by, I know. That was the predicament I found myself in. They are all a bunch of crooks and liars. I'm trying to claim my money back via financial ombudsman. But Section 75 only allows purchases up to 30,000 and we paid 32,500. Someone answered total rip-off merchants and they get away with it. Another one said all of the traders in North Wales are owned by Lyons, so they sound like a big pack of liars. It's from Lyons the Liars. I'm quoting someone else. Lyons is one of the biggest scammers out there. They kick people off with no explanation and can do so according to them. Poof, one day just was told 7 days and off paid psych fees in full and all bills. Lost 50,000 in total cash, my inheritance all. I can tell anyone is stay away from Lyons. They are the worst scammers out. There are no real rules. They make them up as you go. Swallowed by two true. When I wanted to partex my old van and move on to Lyons, I was told by the then park manager, we are not like all the other parks. That's true. They are the worst. Never deal with any of the Lyons parks. Now, I'm quoting. And there is more to come. This is a comment on Holiday Park Action Group. Quote, been on such and such park, bought by Lyons, since 1973, no age limit. Bought by Lyons in March and told in conversation this summer that had a 20-year rule but not enforcing it, and when they did, it would be on case-by-case basis. Ours is 23 years old but was upgraded with double glazing a few years ago and freestanding furniture. At the end of October the 1st, was asked to phone them and they told me basically we had until December the 1st to, one, buy a new or used caravan. They had a 2008 one for £20,000. Two, try to sell it privately, but no one will want it or want to pay haulage. And then we'll have to pay a £1,200 disconnection fee to Lyons. Or three, surrender and sign the van over to them at no charge. Never had any terms or conditions or contracts or even sent anything regarding age limits, etc. I have asked numerous times for the paperwork, which I know does not exist, but no response. Devastated as three generations of my family have been there and my parents' ashes are scattered on the dunes, what are our rights? A reminder of a comment by company director Joseph Lyons Mound in the Daily Post of Wales in 2002. The figures we charge for disconnections and reciting are not for profit. It simply does cost £600 to execute this process, which involves gas and electric disconnection, contractors, drivers, and in some case, storage. Now, from what I understand, Lyons have 20 parks, and in each park, there are people who connect and disconnect gas and electricity supplies. So they're already being paid. So they aren't contractors. So why was a price of £1,200 for disconnection given to somebody when company director Joseph Lyons Mound is quoted as saying, the figures we charge are not for profit. It simply does cost £600 to execute this process. This is Carrie Van continuing a story. I've been given lots of notes, a transcript, and even a recording of a conversation which took place between a customer and a park manager of Lions Holiday Parks. On August the 1st, 2023, there was a joint birthday get-together, including the park manager in the park's bar. Later, this customer entertained people by playing guitar and singing in the conservatory for a group of other park customers for no fee. As he'd been recently involved in various musical events in public houses, he suggested to the park manager that doing the same thing in the park's bar might attract outsiders and create business for it. The park manager suggested that the customer approach the bar manager, who in turn said they'd mentioned the idea to their own superior in charge of entertainment. In late August 2023, this customer asked someone in the office to book a gas check for the caravan, as it needed to be checked within 2 weeks as per the caravan's insurance. The office man said he'd send an email to head office. Late August 2023, the customer and his wife contracted COVID virus whilst at the park. The only time they'd been in company with anyone was in the bar on the park during a Friday night quiz. On September the 3rd, 2023, this customer held a birthday party nearby. Originally, 100 guests dwindled down to 34 due to COVID concerns. The customer recovered from COVID, but his wife was still positive, so she stayed home. This is important. On September the 8th, 2023, the customer received an emailed bill for the caravan gas certificate. The check was 2 weeks late, despite his concern and mentioning to the park manager, who agreed it was a health and safety issue. The conversation took place at a plot during a large caravan sighting, the plot I've given the number to. In effect, this customer says their caravan would have been uninsured had an incident occurred. September 30th, there was a coffee morning, and the customer's wife visited, spent £5 on tombola tickets, donated a prize for the tombola. Later that evening, the customer visited the bar to see if he'd won a prize. The bar was crowded, claustrophobic, hot and noisy. He'd won a prize, he declined buying a drink and took the prize and rushed out afraid of catching COVID again. A day or so later, he posted a message on the WhatsApp group about a planned 100-ticket event in November in the bar, saying that after the coffee event being crowded, he wouldn't be going. He thought that so many people in such a small space, and after recently contracting COVID for what was the second time, was cloud cuckoo land. He also added a comment that the bar was too crowded for his liking. The event was later transferred to another Lions Park, but was then transferred back again. No one knows why. Could it be COVID-related and the bar was being deep cleaned? Possible. October the 1st, his last face-to-face conversation with the park manager as the family left the park for home. It was friendly and the customer asked how many caravans the park manager had sold. He answered 40, about 50% of them being upgrade. That's people buying a new caravan and part exchanging their old one. Always friendly, and the customer said, see you in 2 or 3 weeks' time. The customer says, an interesting observation is that if approximately 20 caravan sales were upgraded sales, what prompted those customers to do so after Lions takeover and not under the previous park owners only a few months before? That's a good point. The park manager had already said, I'd spoken to 20-year-old caravan owners about upgrading. I spoke to 2018, 2019 caravan owners about upgrading because that's what we do. And this seems to be an obvious business plan to continue to persuade customers to upgrade their property. And there was apparently there was a rumour on the park, a rumour or a leak on the park, that there's a list of approximately 30 old caravans that was in the sales office, and the plan was to remove them by the end of December. As it happens, an insider confirmed that was the case. October the 2nd, 2023, at approximately 3 p.m. And he says here that the customer say that he had already informed the park manager that he had a disability. He wasn't asked what it was. He wasn't asked if the park could do anything to help. He'd already informed the park manager he had a disability, and the park manager had already previously stated that he had a duty of care for the park now. October the 2nd, an unexpected phone call from the park manager informing the customer that he would not be allowed to have a new license agreement or contract to remain on the park for the new season. He said, "I don't like doing this." And the customer was told, "If you try to pay, we won't put the payment through." Customer says, "I was in shock and suffered heart palpitations from feeling weak, having already said that he had a disability." The customer explained that he was suffering, his voice was audibly shaking, and in the car awaiting to collect his grandchildren from school, the park manager expressed no concern and simply complained that comments that had allegedly been made about the bar being too crowded and that the customer would not be attending the party to 100 ticket-only guests at £5 a ticket. The park manager mentioned the comment Cloud Cuckoo Land regarding an opinion about the venue being too small. The customer informed the park manager of the positive actions he'd made towards the park, including informing others of the latest site fees, which had been permitted to tell. Showing prospective customers around, that's showing commitment. And he repeated the family desire to remain on the park. Repeated the desire to remain on the park. That's important. Customer informed the park manager that he had to terminate the call as he didn't want the grandchildren to see him in any state. The park manager tried several times to call back, but the customer left the calls unanswered out of fright. A reminder that the park manager had said he got a duty of care to his customers. 14:15, a text from the park manager: "When you have calmed, please call me." And a further message: "Don't worry about anything, please. We can resolve this matter, but we just need to go over some things." I'll repeat that. "We can resolve this matter, but we just need to go over some things." I'll repeat it again. "We can resolve this matter, but we just need to go over some things." At 6:01, the customer emailed the park manager, and amongst the email, it said, "I replied that we were quite happy. We wanted to pass our caravan onto our grandchildren. Customer says, we have supported the Quith Nights. I've made suggestions. I've offered to organise a talent show. I've shown prospective buyers around the park, even asking about them this morning." The email ended with, "We can resolve this matter, but we just need to go over some things." Over to you. So there was an invitation to the park manager to explain what was meant by that comment. "We can resolve this matter, but we just need to go over some things." October the 4th, a WhatsApp message sent to the park manager: "Good morning. It's now some 39 hours since I sent an email to you, but have not as yet received a reply. In case it didn't arrive, I've photographed it," clever, "and I'm sending it now. Please acknowledge its receipt by return by text or email only with concise explanations regarding. Don't worry about anything. We can resolve this matter, but we just need to go over some things. As we are worried and we wish to organise our lives. Regards." Two ticks appear on the message, which indicates that the message has been sent and received, but there was no reply. The customer says, "The only way that I can envisage the resolution promised by the park manager based on previous actions and comments, and to remain on the park we loved, in an area we loved, and which meant so much to ourselves, grandchildren and family, is that we're about to be forced to upgrade or part exchange our 12-month-old caravan at a cost of several £1,000. October the 4th, 11:57, email from the park manager entitled Behavioural Standards, but not including any examples of any alleged issues or problems. "Hi, I've acknowledged your email, and this is now being reviewed by senior management. Senior management will be in touch in due course. October the 9th, an email to the park manager saying, because there was no proper response to my messages, etc., that my wife and I would be arranging the removal of our caravan. It says, the other options would be to sell the caravan to either the park or another customer, either way losing several thousand pounds. So, having been told that he wasn't being allowed to stay, having been told the matter could be resolved, just need to go over some things, got no answer to that, got no answers at all. The gentleman and his wife decided to move their caravan off the park because they couldn't see a way of saving it otherwise. And so the customer and his wife decided the only option they had was to remove the caravan off the park. Oh, October 2023, the customer and his wife arrived and dismantled their storage units and took them to a caravan park which had allowed them to transfer the caravan to. They kept the reasons for leaving and the new site a secret. While they were doing the dismantling, another passing customer said, "This place has gone to shit." Previously, the customer had mentioned to another long-term customer that new customers were arriving, and these other people said, "Yes, but they don't know what it's like." What were the directors saying? How they like to be a family park and how they like to look after the customers. October the 20th, 2023. As there was no reply to any of our requests regarding the park manager's offer of what was initially seen as mediation, the caravan was removed with its steps to an alternative site which was several miles away from where they wanted to be, miles and miles away from the nearest supermarket, but it was the only park which would, for a fee plus connection, accept the caravan onto it, and transportation as well was costly. On the day of the removal, the park, the Lions Park, was found to be flooded. Photos available. As far as the customer is aware, customers may not have been informed of the possibility of flooding as required by law. The Occupiers' Liability Act 1957, you have a duty of care under the provisions of the Occupiers' Liability Act 1957. This includes making anyone on your site, visitors, tenants or homeowners, aware of the risk of flooding. An email was sent on November the 29th to Lions head office, as suggested by Citizens Advice. To whomsoever it may concern, on November the 10th, 2023, Lions sales manager and de facto park manager signed for the delivery of a letter from myself requiring answers to several important and pertinent questions regarding the removal of the caravan owned by the customer and his wife from the park and other issues regarding the management of the park and responsibilities to its customers and consumers of its services. No answers or reply were received. Customer was advised to make contact with Lions Holiday Park Company via its complaints procedure, however, none could be found. Only an invitation to contact the company leading to this message. Kindly forward the correct and appropriate complaints procedure details by email to, and so forth, as soon as possible after the receipt of this message. Now, holiday parks are advised to have a complaints procedure. I've got details of that somewhere. November the 30th, an email from a person at Lions head office in response to the customers contacting Lions for details of the company complaints procedure. It says, "As per your instructions set out in the email below, Lions Holiday Parks assisted in the discontinuation of a caravan ready for its transportation to your chosen destination. With regards to the lengthy letter," a copy of which I have, "with regards to the lengthy letter you forwarded to the office and the point to which you have requested an explanation, which is we can resolve this matter, I can confirm that the relevant point to which we are obliged to answer is that of the 20-year age restriction within the Lions Group, of which I am aware the park manager being so-and-so clearly explained to yourself, hence your decision to have the caravan removed from the holiday park, which, as can be noticed earlier, is untrue, as a customer had repeatedly said that they were committed to staying on the park and passing it on to the family. Not only that, they are offering to do various things and even showing a prospective customer around. The email continues, I must inform you that we now consider this matter to be closed. So that's not true, is it? How can that be true? In that the customer wanted to stay, he's told he'd got to get off, then he was told that there's a way he could stay, then he wasn't answered when he wanted to know what it was, how he could stay. As he got no answers, he decided to move the car around because he hadn't got any option. So that email from the head office, to me, doesn't make sense. November the 30th, 2023, an email to this person at Lion's Head Office saying, thank you for your email, however, we consider the matter far from being closed, and that there was no reply to any of the issues in my emails, a 14-day letter which was received by the park manager on November the 10th, 2023. I await details of your complaints procedure as I am advised to request. As you are not prepared to address any issues and your email is actually far from being correct, I shall be in contact in the future regarding further advice. The letter sent on February the 19th, 2024, again to this person asking for clarification of the park manager's comments of resolving the matter and proof and evidence of allegation that they removed the caravan solely by choice due to the policy of the park, the 20-year caravan age policy. February the 20th, a letter was signed for at Robin Hood Holiday Park at 9 a.m. and no reply was received. So, to reiterate, you've got the director of Lions saying that they're a family park, that their customers are important. You've got somebody who, amongst other people, made comments about being unsure of Lions and what they saw as the company policy regarding old caravans. Somebody being concerned about catching COVID again. They were then denied renewal of their contract, that were told there was a way to resolve the matter. When asked how the matter could be resolved, they received no answer. And knowing that they'd have to move the caravan, family removed the caravan, and then was told that the only reason they removed the caravan was a 20-year caravan age policy, which they were prepared to accept. I think I've got that right. A lady says, there's no way I'd want to be on an infamous Lion site. A gentleman replied, me neither, but sadly I am worst thing I've ever done. Another lady replied, I wouldn't go to this company if the pitch fees was free. They will scam you another way. Now some legal references to Lion's Holiday Park. The realjournal.co.uk news. A holiday park was fined after failing to submit official documentation. At London, no magistrates court on October the 9th, the case against Lions Holiday Parks Limited. New Coast wrote, Real are failing to submit documentation to comply with condition 4.2 and 4.3 of site licence number CCBC60 was proved in their absence. Lions Holiday Parks Limited was fined £1,500, or to pay £81 cost and a victim surcharge of £150, a total of £1,731. Lions Holiday Parks Limited is the holder of a site licence at Oakfield Caravan Park, Morpher Avenue, Kinmel Bay. A new site licence was issued under Caravan Sites and Control of Development Act 1960 on the 21st of February 2018. Press Gazette. .co.uk.
A holiday company attempted to stop Wales' best-selling newspaper from including it in a story about firms allegedly underpaying staff on the basis of the amount of money it spends with the newspaper commercially. But the Daily Post, owned by Reach, formerly Trinity Mirror, and edited by Andrew Campbell, ran the story nevertheless. The attempted cover-up was uncovered by BBC Wales when Lions Holiday Parks accidentally forwarded an email originally meant for a reporter at the Post to a BBC journalist. Oakfield Caravan Park in North Wales, which is owned by Lions Holiday Parks, was featured in a list released by the government in March to name and shame companies across the UK that had underpaid staff on minimum wage. In the email thread, Lions Holiday Park responded to the newspaper's request for comment by asking the reporter to exclude the company from the article. The reporter asked, just getting in touch from the Daily Post as we have been sent a list of employers that the government will name tomorrow for not paying the minimum wage. Oakfield Caravan Park Limited is on the list, and I understand it is a site owned by Lions. Wanted to see if the company wanted to respond to this. In response, Lion Holidays Park said, I would kindly ask, based on the amount of money we spend with you guys, that Oakfield is not published on that list. The Daily Post, which sells just under 20,000 copies a day, ABC figures, included Oakfield Caravan Park in its coverage of the list in March, published the day after the attempted cover-up. Daily Post editor Andrew Campbell told Press Gazette, fortunately, it is rare but not unknown for advertisers to try to apply pressure to suppress what they perceive as negative news stories. Editorial independence and press freedom is fundamental to the way we operate, and the answer to advertisers who may feel they're owed a favour or may threaten to withdraw their spending is always the same. Lions Holiday Park declined to comment on the matter. Mark Shipman, acting chairman of the National Union of Journalists in Wales, told the BBC, with declining circulations and the need to raise advertising revenue, it is perhaps inevitable that newspapers and news outlets in the private sector generally will come under this kind of commercial pressure. It is, however, extremely important that this kind of pressure is resisted and that those who seek to exact it are, where possible, exposed. Oakfield was featured in the government's 14th round of naming and shaming after the publication of its Good Work Plan. Business manager Andrew Griffiths said it was intended to serve as a sharp reminder to employers to get their house in order ahead of minimum wage rate rises on the 1st of April. The government said Oakfield Caravan Park in Denbighshire had failed to pay £5,903.37 to two workers. The Daily Post said that this had taken place over a seven-month period in 2016. The Daily Post has today published another article revealing that Lions Holiday Parks has failed to pay more than £7,000 to 12 workers. Ben Williams, head of marketing and customer services at Lions Holiday Park, told the paper, there were a small number of isolated cases identified, however, all of these issues have now been rectified. We are a family-run organisation and pride ourselves on ensuring the welfare of our valued team members. This is Kerry Vance, still looking at Lions Holiday Parks, and bear in mind that one of their customers was told by a park manager that Lions had never lost a court case. However, it's amazing what you find. A lady was employed by Lions Holiday Park as a marketing and customer service assistant from 2011 until she was made redundant in March 2020. At the time of being made redundant, she was 60 years old with a clean disciplinary record. The marketing department was seen to as being in need of change and to be shaken up. Lions was aware that its social media activities were not as successful as its competitors and wanted to improve its use of social media for digital marketing. This person was seen by senior managers as part of the inefficiency program in the marketing team. They were so critical of her capability and performance, particularly in relation to her ability to use social media as a marketing tool. Didn't bother to train her then, eh? When a marketing manager role became vacant, this person applied for the position but was unsuccessful. There was a poor working relationship between the person and the new manager, Davies, which led to a negative atmosphere in the team. Senior management believed that the person was resentful of Davies and his appointment to the management role. The marketing assistant was hired. Some of the claimant's job tasks were relocated to the new marketing assistant, including many social media responsibilities. Lions decided to restructure the marketing team, making one role redundant. Initially, all three members of the marketing team were placed at risk of redundancy. It was then decided that Davies would be excluded from the process. Despite the new person resigning from her role in marketing, Lions contributed with the process to establish one role. So three people were up for redundancy, one person resigned. So Lions continued with the process to get rid of another person, if I've got that right. As part of the restructure, two new marketing roles were created. The claimant applied for the role of social media marketing assistant. Unbeknown to them, an external candidate was invited to apply for the position, was later appointed to the role. The claimant was informed that their application had been unsuccessful and that, as their existing role had been disestablished, they would therefore be dismissed by reason of redundancy. A person wrote to Lyons requesting a copy of grievance procedure. Lyons responded to say that as she was no longer an employee, the grievance procedure was not available to her. The claimant was not made aware of her right to appeal the decision to make her redundant. They subsequently brought a claim for unfair dismissal and discrimination on the grounds of age. The Employment Tribunal held that there was no diminution in need for people to perform the work of marketing departments, so therefore there was no redundancy situation. In reaching this conclusion, the Tribunal referred to the resignation of a previous person, as well as the recruitment of two extra marketing roles, as evidence that marketing work continued to exist. Instead, the Employment Tribunal found that Lyons engineered the dismissal of the person as she did not fill its bill based on performance and relationships. Furthermore, the Employment Tribunal found that the process followed was unfair. The Tribunal held that the notification of redundancy and consultation were not meaningful and that there was no real effort to find an alternative to dismissal. The claimant was not given the opportunity to properly contest their selection for dismissal, nor were they given the right to appeal. Their claim of unfair dismissal was therefore successful. Also, negligent Gwynedd caravan park owners fined more than £160,000. The incident occurred at the caravan park operated by Lyons Sunny Sands Caravan Park Limited at Tullibont near Barmouth on the 12th of May 2020. An employee was using an unguarded table saw at the site when the accident happened. The injured employee was rushed to hospital and has since received specialist surgery in order to regain function in the injured hand. An investigation by, I think I've got this right, Singer Gwynedd Public Protection Service found the employee had been operating a table saw to cut timber decking when his left hand came into contact with the unguarded blade. I'm not sure, but I think that Lyons also own a decking company, by the way. Officers from Singer Gwynedd gave evidence at the subsequent trial and the court was told that the table saw itself had numerous defects and that work activities at the site had not been adequately risk assessed. District Judge Gwyn Jones, sitting in Llandudno Magistrates Court on February the 19th, heard the company directors, Christopher Mead and Jeremy Mead, were negligent by allowing the use of unsafe equipment. By the way, Mead, it's Lyons Mead, Lyons Holiday Park family company, and there are Lyons family members and Mead family members, but they are directors. Mr. Hart, legal representative for Singer Gwynedd, said this accident was obvious and entirely preventable. It could have been controlled by inexpensive measures, such as replacing the defective equipment or applying the guard to the blade. Both Christopher Mead and Jeremy Mead pleaded guilty to breaching Section 2 of the Health and Safety at Work Act 1974. They were fined £75,000 each and both were ordered to pay £5,338.85 costs and a £190 surcharge. After the hearing, Councillor David Myrick, I hope I've pronounced that right, Singer Gwynedd Cabinet Member for the Environment Department, said, "Our thoughts are with the employee who has suffered serious injuries which continue to affect him. It is frightening to think how much worse the incident could have been, and the whole event and its consequences could have been easily avoided if basic safeguards had been put in place. This is the second prosecution relating to the use of dangerous table saws that Singer Gwynedd has taken over recent years. All employers should make sure that they properly assess and apply effective control measures to minimise the risk from the use of machinery in their workplaces. We are grateful to the courts for their work and we hope this substantial fine will send a clear message to other employers that protecting the very people who work and visit their premises is of the highest importance."